Okay, here we go. If your child's not asleep, she'll fall asleep just for survival. I keep a close watch on this heart of mine. I keep my eyes on Jesus all the time. I keep the ends out for the word that binds, because He's mine. I walk the line. I find it very, very easy to be true. I find myself on my knees when each day is through. What I receive from Him, I know will see me through, because He's mine. I sing these lines. As sure as day is light and night is dark, God's church is a type of Noah's Ark. Come on, my children, in out of the dark, because He's mine. I sing these lines because He's mine. I sing these lines. Every time I've come out here and I've had my own agenda, problem with hearing Him and walking in the Spirit, you might have your own agenda, and He has His. I've been in too many for my own. I like His better. And usually in His agenda, there'll be so many needs in the crowd and here and things they need to know that the Holy Ghost will take over and He'll move them this direction to answer that and at the same time be teaching. So these whole services are for you. See, they're not for us. They're for you. They're designed for the believer to grow by and to go out and conquer the rest of the world. So this is really all about you. It's not us. So why would you come to something that's for us? So we're supposed to be in a place where He uses us for you. We're not supposed to throw you out if you didn't like our message. Hallelujah. So I wasn't surprised when He come and laid hold on me, and because there's enough of the past here that He wanted to me to exhort and teach and things on love. And any time I tried to get off of it, as you see, I've not been successful to this point of getting off of His love. But I didn't want to either. If you'd asked me, I'd have said, I'm looking for an excuse to get back on it again. Because I've never had anything affect the answers to my prayers as much as this last part, when the love of God began to pour into my spirit, that new nature that can house it, in proportions that was filtering out. Let me put it this way. I went to a passion play in Oklahoma City with a group of youth particularly. And after it was over, it was really put together well. Angels flew on wires. Hell was hot. Jesus died and stuff and rose. It was all good, professional, but there just was no presence there. And on the way back, I was musing inside as though He don't hear it. I was wondering, what would it take to bring an anointing to a place like that? And immediately, you know what He said? He said, you go home and worship Me all night and you'll begin to find out. Well, He coupled that together with one of those little mini visions He gives. Bront is quite familiar with those. I saw a rock land in a pond. And the first ripple made it to the utmost corners of the pond, and then the second one that followed it, and then the third, and many. And the first one was a baptism of the Spirit with what it was designed to be able to hold, was a manifested presence of His love. And the second rain came out. It was Him taking over the soul, the emotions. And the third one was the geography. It would manifest itself in a tangible presence in the geography you were in. So I went home, and He said, if you'd worship me all night tonight, you'd start. Did you? Regretfully. No. No. In fact, it was a year later. I was standing at the end of a line, and somebody was doing it, and all of a sudden I fell down. And by the time He was done with me, He didn't ask me if I was going to do it now. He didn't have to ask me. I started the next day and set a certain amount of time that I was going to put aside just to worship Him besides the tongues. Well, thank God you can do things like pray in tongues while you're reading the Bible. In fact, while you're riding your bicycle, it's a little harder to listen while you're reading, or listen while if you've got your mind occupied with something else, but it doesn't matter because He's the one that's picking the prayer that you need, not you. He's the one choosing the words. All He's borrowed is your authority by having it your spirit. Is who repronounces the words. So that passes the authority to you. So one member of the Godhead is creating the prayer in you, and authority goes to you, it's your authority, and you're praying up, and another member of the Godhead answers it. How can a guy lose? So I pray in tongues and read, and I can pray in tongues and exercise and all of that, but worship. So with the worship, I settled in there and I started telling Him how much I loved Him and glory to God and hallelujah. I really love you. I told you that, didn't I? Found myself in a little repetition. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Pretty soon it just got pure repetitious. And I thought, boy, if you're supposed to feel something, I must have been left out in the cold. I'm going, I love you, glory, hallelujah, hallelujah, I love you, glory be to God. Have I told you lately that I love you? Hallelujah, hallelujah, glory, 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 hallelujah, glory. Oh, glory. Then got drier. Glory, hallelujah, got drier. Felt like I was drinking cracker juice. Go glory in a puff of dust. Come out of your car. Is that dry? But I got through that. And I wouldn't put my hands down when I could hold them up. Of course, they'd pull themselves down according to the law of gravity. But I wouldn't do it until the law kicked in. I didn't put them down because I didn't feel like worshiping. So I was holding my hands up and worshiping and holding them up. And one day, what I was talking about came. Whew. Boy, He flooded through my spirit, through me. The next time I tried to get up and teach, was a trip to Brazil. I was in São Paulo, and there was quite a group there. Maybe 400 or 500, and a lot of them were preachers mostly. It's kind of a preacher's meeting. And I come out there, and I had a translator, and the translator's trying to translate for me. And I'm on the edge of crying, and people start crying all over. all over the auditorium. There's just crying and weeping, and we've got this language barrier. And it's going through an interpreter. So finally, I said, okay, let's have a line. And a line got up, and they were bawling so hard, they were collapsing and falling. And pretty soon, I look around, and I tried to say something. I lost my translator. He's laying on the floor bawling now. Nobody got up the same. Something fresh had happened. Well, I won't tell you how long it took me to get there, but I can go back over this part. He showed me the dry spell. I was so wanting to understand that. And I got this glimpse, which when I say that, it's a vivid, but it's a dependable vision from God that flashes a picture in your mind, and after a while you know the difference between spirit and your mind. It flashes it across it, and I know the origin of it. And you know that old saying about a picture being worth a couple of words? I saw these angels, and they were sitting around, and basically they was watching. But they were really. I got to get on a little of the conversation just that quick. They were saying, look, in depression, that kind of thing, and presence, void, and all that hell took their best shot. But look, look, no matter what they did, they couldn't make him put his hands down. Look, I even went to preachers that knew and wrote books, and they said, you're just not breaking through to the anointing. It was quite the contrary. I went through hell trying to stop me and beat it and received what he had. I wasn't losing ground. I was winning ground. So they were wrong. They was wrong. He says, look at this. Look at this. Whew, and I said, God, I just beat the britches right off the devil. Didn't even know it. Hallelujah. Boy, am I glad I didn't quit. Followed that simple instruction you gave me. I'm so glad. And then I understood Paul. Oh, my goodness. He says, there has been given to me a messenger. You know, we covered this a little bit. Let's plug it in here. There's been given to me a messenger of Satan because of the abundance of my revelations to buffet me. He's in a thorn in the flesh. There's a lot more to it, but we're not teaching on that right now. And he says, three times I approached God and said, they're killing me. My God, can't you get this stopped? My grace is sufficient. Boy, he says, he starts naming the stuff off. Five times I received 39 lashes on my back. Three times they locked my feet up in stocks and broke them with rods. I was beaten with rods. Three ships sank on me, and I treaded water a day and a night in the deep. He's not counting getting stoned to death, drug out of town, and imprisonments. So the third time he approached God, can't you get this stopped? Can't you? My grace is sufficient. Well, what he found out is what I stumbled on, and I could understand what he found out. He said, I take pleasure in necessities, distresses, perplexities. Because in that, when I'm at my weakest, I'm at my strongest. Because it switches my dependency off of the flesh onto the Spirit and activates the grace that He gave me for the occasion. What did you find out? I found out he had to win the same fight. I wished I could have figured it out reading about him instead of fighting myself. woo, that I found out no matter how much hell was jumping up and down on me, no matter how it made my emotions feel, how it kept kicking me, making things look really bad, I still stayed in there, held my hands up, and told Him how much I loved Him and worshipped Him and glorified and drier and hell knew. They knew that if I broke through, I'd be hell on wheels because I'd come out here and tell you. Woo! Hallelujah, Jesus. Can you imagine getting stoned and you're dead and they gather around you and pray and you raise up and go back into town and do it again? Think about it. But here you go. Here you go. That place in you where that grace operates. The devil can strip everything away. It doesn't matter what he does. He doesn't get the last say so. It does not matter. What matters? If I can pick my hands up and no matter what hell is doing, what hell's saying, or how bad it's getting, I can hold those hands up and glorify God for His grace, for His faithfulness, and tell Him how much I love through this. Guess what? A dependency switch is going on. That very grace I'm depending on is going to set me free. Woo! Hallelujah! Boy, when I turned my last son that was holding out over to God, that was Steve. I turned him over, and you know, and just you got to throw him on him, throw him on him. Then if he tries to give him back, turn your back on him. You have to really, really throw him on him. Here he is. He's your problem now. He's your problem. See him in heaven. That's what I want. I want to see him in heaven. He's your problem. And boy, he went all the way down into a fishing season it was Washington. And a guy had a boat there and they'd go out fishing season, make a whole lot of money in a short time. And when he did, they got their dope money and went to the apartment, had a great big party. And both of them overdosed, my son and him. He called him and he sounded like a scared little chicken. Oh God, Dad, he says, he told me the story. He says, I rolled my buddy over. His eye had dried out on the mat. Pulled it out. But what he didn't tell me is what happened to him. He didn't tell me then. But between that and the next call, God gave me a vision. This is my son. So I told him what happened. You want me to tell you what happened? You died too, didn't you? He said, yes. So you know how I know? I'll tell you what the room looks like, I told him. I said, and I seen a big angel, and he was big. And he's standing there, and he had his back to your party. And these devils come through the wall. And that angel just turned, and he gave him this look. He was dressed like a Roman soldier, so I'd know what he was. Roman foot soldier. He had the vest. He looked like a warrior. He turned like this, and they whimped and fell and squeaked and went out. My son had got up and he was wondering what in the world, and he turned around and saw himself laying there. He saw himself laying on the bed. He looked at the wall that separated a walk around to where the angel was standing, and he saw his outline through the wall. I said, he was there, wasn't he? He said, yes. I said, what did he do? He told me to get back into my body. He came home saved and scared. Well, he fell away the next time. In fact, he went to a rehab in Florida here. Alan was with Rosalie, and my wife, and I went all over to Texas to preach. And Alan was getting her and Steve. He was present, and he snuck some dope from somebody. Overdosed again. This time he was dead 9 minutes, and Alan raised him. Then you know what he did? Jumped off of a train doing 60. Killed him again, and they shocked him back to life in the hospital. Boy, after that, well, this time, somebody screamed and come running downstairs. He died during the night. Went the ambulance. They tried, dead too long, according to them. Can everybody clear out? They cleared out of the room where they brought him in because I wanted to pray. So I prayed and I prayed, and a finality came over me. And I'm thinking, what does this mean? And it got stiller and stiller. That's when I saw what happened. Well, why did he let me know, cuz? I wasn't going to turn loose of the fight. I won't. I have to know. Jesus was standing on the line. He must have said things to him before, because he was standing on the line this time, and he said, "No, this time you're coming with me." There's a few reasons that'll happen. God can take a minute and go to them. And every minute, you can make 1,000 thoughts, and He can get the one you're going to. So He can go 50 years ahead on you in a second, if He wants to. Well, the only reason He wouldn't have let him come back this time you have to come home, is because if there was a danger of him being lost, and I wasn't going to take that. Well, I know where he is now. And I told the Lord, they could tell him, "I'm going to beat the britches off the devil before I come home." Hallelujah. Why did I tell you something like this? You think the devil wanted me to find out? He had bitterness planned for me and defeat. He didn't have a trip into the love of God on his scoreboard. But that's just too bad. He salvaged my son. I love him more than I ever have. But as far as detouring the journey, no sir. No, sir. When I broke in to that private worship and it began to manifest itself from time to time in that tangible presence, and then I saw the power building with it. You know who usually gets healed in these kind of meetings? The guy that comes to church, and there's usually physically pretty much. And I said, "Well, what's this other?" Well, healings, the gift of healings is plural. Did you notice that? Now, a miracle can happen in your body, or healing can take place in your body, and the pain will leave. You'll be healed. But it's plural, because he wasn't just limiting the healing to your physical body. Also, to those kind of roots that form and build a stronghold in you, and you're just fighting to get past it. You need to be healed from some hurts, knots, and everything else, see? And he says, "You know what this anointing will do? This one that you're discovering, I've got no claims on this anointing. It's anybody that wants to go in. You want to go in? You know the person this anointing heals? When it's tangibly manifested in its compassion. It heals the guy that stays home and sends the guy with the front to church. Hi, good service. Yeah. Then gets home and turns back into the beast. Shut up, wife, and just cook those hot dogs. I'm tired of you talking all the time. Did I point at you? No. No, that's a mistake. I was just pointing. I said, this will do what? He'll say, this one will heal the guy that stays home. Not the front guy he sends to church to be nice. It'll make the nice guy out of the guy that stays home because it's got that healing ability to go in there and not only pull the strongholds down, but heal the wounds and the pain. Hallelujah. Based on what? Oh, Jesus. His love. His love. And what have you found? What have you found in your walk that mostly praying in tongues? When it came time for the prayer lengths of time that I had to spend praying in tongues, that I had to realize I needed to do that, then praying in tongues slipped what I needed in the door. And when it opened, I was able to endure what I needed to endure to get past the devil to stay in prayer. Oh, and then the next one was, you know, meditation or the Word, and I had it unlocked that until I was able and taught me all about it. And the next one he unlocked was the fasting door. Boy, when that one unlocked, the devil was getting a little nervous. I went on two longer fasts. I mean, why? Because I could do it. One day, after that, key, where did it come from? The edification of praying in tongues and his plan. We didn't lock that fasting door. One day I just quit eating. I don't look like it now. I just quit eating. And boy, first he started teaching me about fasting. And
the Pharisee said, we noticed that your disciples, and the Pharisees and those fast, that we noticed that your disciples don't fast at all, Jesus. Can you tell us why?
He said, well, sure. You don't put new wine into old bottles and new patches on old garments. That's why they're not fasting. That's why they will fast. And he says, well, I could see the Pharisees going, you don't what? You don't put new patches on old garments, and you don't put new wine in old bottles, that's why they'll fast. They're going, new wine in what? What kind of question did we ask you? See, this is what he was saying. Pretty soon the bridegroom, I'll be taken away, Jesus. And when I do, you'll be born again. But I have to leave you in the old wineskin. I have to leave you in the old garment. But that's okay, because fasting is going to have the effect, the same effect on your old wineskin and your old garment as if you'd went out and bought a new one. Fasting will help kill it, and you'll be able to endure for the duration of your ministry on this planet, while the new wine, which is your born-again experience, operating in an old wineskin. See, so not only did he show me, not only did he unlock the door, He started teaching me what was going on. And then the next one. But before that happened, I did a fast upstairs. And the devil knew I was getting dangerously close to that love. The finisher. You know, in the 14th chapter, or 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians, he says, look, you covet earnestly the best gifts. And I'll show you a more excellent way. Though I speak with tongues of men and angels, and have not love. She said, covet earnestly the best gifts. Well, he named all of them. Working some miracles, gifts of healing, apostles, prophets. He said, covet earnestly the best. But let me show you a more excellent way to do what? To covet earnestly the best gifts. That changed my life so drastically that I went after the love of God with the same tenacity I was going to go after the workings of miracles. Because the more excellent way is if you go after the love of God with the same tenacity, then you're going to get everything and you're not going to fall. So I was locked up fasting and braving up my old wineskin and toughening it up so that new wine would finish its duration in an old wine skin. It's going to last me. So I'm in this fasting. And I don't know how many days I was into it. And all of a sudden, I was just laying there. And this whole choir starts. Can't you hear the thunder rolling? They sang over and over. And for I thought, my gosh, I can hear this out loud. So I went downstairs and they followed me. And I went in where Rosalie was. And I said, can you hear the singing? She says, no. She says, what are they singing now? And I said, right at the moment, can you hear the trumpet blow? She says, you can hear them? I said, yeah. She says, if I was you, I wouldn't tell anybody. I didn't know for sure. You know, I didn't know for sure if that was God or what. I finished the fast and I broke it and I was glad because they stopped. Then gold dusting started, and a little barking was possibly an attempt, and chicken, and convulsions and fits, and that all started. And he tried to persuade me that all those things was God. And I'm not buying that. People aren't called to bark like dogs. Just shut up. You're the wrong voice talking about. And so. So he kept all that year to try to fight and win and get me to go with him on that sensationalism. And then it came time the next year, and I just thought, I'm going to quit eating again. And I went to got a place this time away from everywhere. Locked myself up in there about the fourth night. Can't you hear the thunder? And I'm going, oh, they're back. God. It went on until it bothered me. It irritated me. I said, there's something wrong with this worship. It irritates me. I wonder, what can I do about it? And it came to me what I could do. And I thought for a while it was my idea. I said, I'll see if they'll take requests. What's the oldest song I know? Let's all gather at the river. Let's see some hands. Your hair better be gray. So I went, would you sing, let's all gather at the river? Got quiet, thank God, 30 seconds at least. And all of a sudden, here it comes, full orchestra, just full choir or whatever. Let's all gather at the river, the beautiful, beautiful river. After about 8, 9, 10 days, I was fed up with it. So I'm thinking, I know what I will do. I'll ask them to sing a worldly song. I said, hey, would you sing Ring of Fire by Johnny Cash? It got quiet. It went on 5 minutes and 10. I thought, you got it together, boy. They must have had to go find a bass or something. All of a sudden, I was just, hallelujah. The taste of love is sweet. When two hearts like ours meet. I fell into a burning ring of fire. Went down, down, down. I'm thinking, you're going down. And the flames burned higher. And it burned, burned, burned. The ring of fire. And said, thank you very much. Seriously. Thank you very much. I mean it. But get out of here. I was tempted to let them finish the song because I like it. I like it. But I fought the temptation off. I said, it's over. I said, it's over. Are you listening? I said, get out. Get out. Got quiet. They left, okay. And you know how they said bye? After the fast, I was home and I was laying in bed. That's when I had my dreaded yellow pad. And the pencils, it's got a little Velcro strip on the top. You stick it in the holster and then Velcro it, and then you can close it up. And then I had it handy, and that's when the pencil jumped out of it, closed, and went into the trash about 3 feet away. I said, that's not going to work. I'll just get it out and write anyway. Don't threaten me. And that's when I was getting it. And then they had a light on in the bathroom, and kind of a nightlight thing, and he just just asked across the door like this. Do you know what I did? Turned the light out, went to sleep. Last time. I should be hosting a great sensationalism thing, so I can lead everybody to Guyana. We can have a communion. He had lightning in his services. You know, I can tell you barking's okay, any kind of sensationalism. Long as I'm leading you off. And then, you know, I'll probably end up. Alexander Dowie did this. So did Branham. My God, what a life and ministry they had. For the end of it, it crawled up on the throne. Dressed himself up and pronounced himself Elijah to come. Come on. That stuff will only go so far. And what they're thinking's God, way over half of it's not. And then when he starts telling them that stuff, who else could it be? After all, he's the source of all that sensationalism.
Come on. So when I made it a study then to go find out about this, and I did. And then you know what I found out? The devil pulled all of that. Every bit of it. To keep me from discovering this last door. That revival is made out of. I do believe it'll be the enduring one that brings him back and a great harvest from the earth. I believe it'll be the one, and I get to help with it. So do you. So why would you say something like that? He fought me tooth and nail because he didn't want me to get to the last door. But he can't win. He's praying in tongues, unlocked it. And on the other doors served their purpose. I made it past him far enough. And so this was a combination. And the door opened and it wouldn't open more. In fact, it opened itself. It wouldn't open more than 2 feet at this point. I haven't seen it again. At this point, it opened 2 feet and glory came out. When that glory came out, then that's when he told me about the love and about the baptisms and about what's available and about that anointing. And that ought that we hold against people a capacity to literally hurt them or destroy them, especially little ones, on a day-by-day basis. If you only knew the devastation that has on answered prayer. Yet when that love takes its place, guess what? Every time that he said something was going to move of major significance from a tree to a mountain, he said, if you doubt not in your heart. Well, the heart is the part of you that you love people, and it's also the part of you that you have the mountain moving kind of faith with. And that's why it just doesn't work too good when you're capable of holding destruction against somebody else. What can you tell me about it? I can promise you this. It won't leave you with it. It'll grow. But you can't help it. It's not hard. It's not hard. What do you think the beginnings of losing all your fear and having the peace Jesus talked about is not of this world? What do you think losing your fear, I mean really losing it, would have on your faith? Where do you think the word never fails comes from? Why would it? When Jesus was instructing, it was Peter. But in Luke, he said the apostle said, but it was Peter was the spokesman in Matthew. That when he asked, when he was warned about causing the fall of a little one. It's not a child he's talking about, it's a baby believer. And to be the cause of one to fall, he was warning Peter. And so Peter, he says, wait a minute, wait. How many times do I have to forgive? But you have to understand, as of yet, Peter was still spiritually dead, so were the others. Jesus was the firstborn of many brethren. That wasn't his first birth. That was his second. They weren't born again yet. The anointing rested on them like a mantle. But Peter, he actually in Matthew says, I say unto you, not seven times, but seven times 70. And in Luke, he said to the apostles, supposedly, he said, seven times. And Peter cries out, oh my God, increase my faith. Did he say, increase my faith when the boat was sinking? Nope. He calmed the sea. Did he say, "Woo, boy, would you increase my faith?" Oh, no. But when he had to forgive a guy 490 times, he says, oh, my God, would you increase my faith? Would you do something? Boy, was I interested in the answer he gave him. Oh, boy, was I. He said, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you could say to that sycamine tree, be plucked up by the root and planted in the sea, and it should obey you. And I'm going, well, that you said if you had. He was asking you to do it. I didn't know that what he was talking about there was the faith you do have. Can't take care of all your ought. Sycamine tree is famous for its horrendous root system. Just like your problems are. He says, with the faith you have, you can say to the sycamine tree, be plucked up by the roots and planted in the sea, and obey you. But then he says, can I ask you a question? Which of you, having a servant, plowing or feeding cattle, will say to your servant by and by when he's come in from the field, oh, sit down and eat and feed yourself, and when you're all warm and fed, then I'll eat. And he said, I trow not. He'd say, look, you feed me first, and then you can sit down and eat. And would he thank that servant? Because no. No, he wouldn't thank him. And Jesus said, so likewise you. And I'm going, oh, he's going to liken us to one or the two. So likewise you. Oh boy, which one is it, the servant or the master? It's surely the master. So likewise you, when you've done all you know to do, say, we're unprofitable servants. We've done that which is our duty to do. Well, forgiving somebody 490 times in a day isn't any fun. But this is what he was saying. You're going to be my disciple. Are you really going to follow me? If you're really going to be my servant, then you will forgive that guy. You will 490 times a day, if necessary. You asked me for an increase of faith. Here you are. So likewise you. You've done all you know to do. Say, we're unprofitable servants. That was our duty. To forgive that guy. That was our duty. He said, and don't think you don't have faith to do it. That's what I was talking about. If you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, and that sycamine tree has a horrendous root system, but probably not as deep as some of yours. But you can get rid of them. Tell me, those guys we lost, look at history. The head of the church through the dark ages, he'd ascend to his throne and put a hat on about 4 feet tall, a big gold chain. After approaching, kiss his hand. Dark ages survived, but the devil beat the daylights out of them. Generation after generation, he stole. Until finally, the revivals begin again and the wake up, heading towards this great harvest. And now, as far as I can see, and listen, I was ultra holiness. I'm a Haganite, a holy night, holiness night, a Haganite. And then praying in tongues a night. It's brought me to one place, to the arming of the doubt not place. Well, the last day revival is going to empty the children's hospitals. What's the governor going to say then? Come on. There'll be chaos personified. And you know, yes, I know for certain what brings it, how it works. Yes, I do. Yes. Well, did worship play it? Yes. That's why I was so glad to see the gatherings at the front and your stubbornness. You know, you want to stay up there a little bit longer. Well, I'll tell you, you can't suspend your spirit in the presence of God hour after hour without receiving some kind of baptism that takes your soul captive, gets it in order, gets it walking with the rest of you, until your geography starts affecting people like Smith Wigglesworth. It couldn't even walk by him on a train and start repenting because of a tangible presence that followed him around. Come on. Come on. Who's it for? But I say unto you, he said, you want more faith in this area, Peter? Is that what you want? You didn't ask me when the boat was sinking. Is that what you want? Oh, he understood it better after he was born again. Is that what you want? He said, this is the increase of love. And you've got the faith to do this. See that tree? Get it out of your life. Come on. Don't you think he wants to heal everybody in your vicinity? Knock them down, heal them. Just because you came over and your heart had fixed itself. Not only on God, but who He is. You're not hearing this stuff anywhere. And you won't for a while. Get a jump on it. Get a jump on it. And why don't you be responsible for thousands of other people to come in and get a jump on it. Wait till you walk in and He says, you come over here, boy. You come over here. I'd have to show you a multiplicity. I mean, of all the limbs that grew on that tree, you planted millions of limbs and harvests. Why? Because you wouldn't stop until it affected enough people to affect enough people. Well, I quoted it all for you, even though I didn't go read it. So, and it's pretty verbatim. Don't worry about it. Go read it if you doubt. Oh, Tuscan, I saw
it. Why aren't you reading it when you preach? I can see it.
Well, you wouldn't have listened to the early apostles because they didn't have a Bible? Ooh, it starts with trusting me that I am who I said I am, and I'll do what I said I will do. For you that set your sail and begin your journey into who I said you was, you'll be the ones that'll inherit Did I make it too hard? No, this last part is a fellowship with me. It's a fellowship with me. I enjoy this last part, saith the Lord, because this I've waited for a long time. For many of you will enter out and enter in, and you'll provoke much. The enemy doesn't let these kind of things pass by very easily. For you must understand, he has to win. He has to win. He has to win in his thinking. So he's seen this before. So he'll come this way again, and particularly knowing that his time is short. But be strong and hear what my servant Paul said, for he had the answer. For you'll find out, you that do walk this path, and begin to receive my love unto the tangible presence of it, you'll see. You'll rejoice and be exceedingly glad for the fellowship of this and the presence and the peace that'll abide in you in a troubled time will have been worth every moment that you gave to me. Never preached this one before. I had no choice. I had no choice. It's already begun. Learn this. Don't let your tongue suffer over your worship, but don't let your worship suffer over your tongues. If must be, you give the more time. Don't give the up. Hallelujah. Well, this is a real good part along the way. What makes you think that a walk like that, that'll affect people around you, will not affect your individual receiving? I tell you, it does. You have any idea how much he's talking about you and the love he has for you in these interpretations? He was saying how he delighted in when the giftings are in operation, because most churches will nail it down at the same little thing, the three little songs and a timed message and out the door. And he really doesn't get to do nothing. I mean, every separate need will try to glean something out of there. But boy, when God's loose and his mind is manifest, guess what? He'll let you know how much he loves you, and if he can do anything about your problem, he's on his way. That's what church is for. He's saying that he uses this on me quite a bit, because while I'm still thinking out in one area, after the interpretation and that I open my mouth and I literally think I'm going to say something else and tongues comes out like he's saying, no, this is my turn. Well, he knows, you know, that you're the gift of interpretation, which I have received. But he knows that I'll interpret it. In fact, most of them are by revelation. There's been some that's word for word. But I like the ones by revelation better, because you can go on talking a little bit longer. For it pleases him much to know that he can talk to you, that you're in a good place. But it is good to know that you know that he does all that he can, all the time that he can do it. For every opportunity that he can receive, he'll lay hold on it to try to get something to you or to do something for you. We say that Brother Robert said, well, you work your God's plan, praying in tongues out ahead of you, and it makes a turn, then I'm going to make that turn when I get there because I worked it in the Spirit. Well, yeah, well, what if you haven't so hostiles and they kill you? Let's talk about that for a minute. Does God a respecter of persons? No. Was he showing respect to Peter when he opened the jail cell, let him out, and the soldiers were going to kill themselves? Hold, no, sword, sheath your swords. Hold it. None of us, we're all here. They're to kill themselves, losing their prisoners. Who opened all the doors at once? I mean, wasn't that their end? Should have been. Paul said, okay, they're taking me. I'm going to be offered today. But I'm ready. I'm ready to be offered. I've fought a good fight. I've ran a good race. It's laid up for me. He had no fear, even though their form of execution was beheading. Had no fear. He worked meditation. He first worked the edification in me, and then meditation, and the fasting door. There's some other little ones. The love was the last one. I may have went Carlton Pearson on you. All inclusive. I got the first glimpse of how much he loved. That's a good thing that I fought a fight to get there. Because if I would have went just candy cake, I would have probably said, I can't see. It must be an error in Scripture. I'd send anybody to hell. Everybody's saved, even the devil, before this is over. He's all inclusive. See, that's a sin unto death. You destroyed the foundation that the house is built on. Him does God destroy. Your time is ticking by. It's not a good thing to tell people. Like those preachers when they say, they're asked by the host, you saying I'll go to hell if I don't accept Jesus? Some of them tell them, yeah, and some of them beat around the bush.
I'm not your judge.
Some of them say, you will burn hell twice as bright, you smart mouth. Gotcha. See, I'm telling you this. It can take years off of your time. So know that Holy Ghost is working His plan. You can start your journey into the love early. Knowing the truth and let Him work out there. Let Him equip you. Get it done quicker than I did. I've been 40 years ministering, and I get to go out like this. I'm going to burn up good. I can't help it right now. Some of you is gleaning too heavy. When I saw Bronk, I got excited. I said, Bronk, you know, there's a place right here that if you put your finger there just right, your pulse will beat on your little finger like a sledge. Poing, poing. And I was laying there this morning, woke up, you know, real still. I had to put my finger up there. I went poing, boing, boing, boing. And I don't have an enlarged heart, just a normal one. Anyway, I got the clock. Boing, boing, boing. One, two. I looked at it. It's a good thing that I thought I'm going to get in there about 20, 30 seconds early so I can count down then when it gets there. I got over there just in time. The resting heart rate was 44. Hallelujah, Jesus. My heart's resting. It's taking 20 beats for the end of my life. It's saving 20 up a minute. I get to torment the devil extra time. Yeah, yeah. Hallelujah. Woo. I get to get up and say, I am your judge. Because he said, if you don't do this, this is going to happen. He judged you. I'm just repeating it. Woo! Hallelujah. And Japan's going down now. Through Brazil. Japan Open. We're going there within a year for our first massive crusade in Japan. And you're going to watch them people. When they find out you can get to the power on purpose, they'll beat you, even if they start next year. 500 slices with a sword before they even went into war and pulled the bow 1,000 times before they shot it. Bought all their metal. Bought mountains of iron from Brazil and outsold our cars. Wait till they find out that the path to the ministry, the miracles, the power, everything Jesus provided you on the cross, the path to it is this sovereign and final and finished. That's the cross itself. When they find that out, there'll be last day revivalists. They'll do the same thing they did with cars and think they could take the whole world over from a whole country that's any bigger than Texas. This time, they'll take the world on with the Bible. Because you're not going to stop them when the path is direct. It gets the result. They haven't had much religion. The revivals haven't never raged there. Well, it's changing. How did it open up? Through Brazil. There's a strong community there now. Japanese. Portuguese speaking. Very strong. And they're starting now to work on the meeting and it's still 9 months away or so. So how many will hold that up every time he brings it to you? And a couple of times extra when you think of it. Hallelujah, Jesus. Remember this thing Jesus had to take care of this. Remember, if you only knew how hindering art was to your prayers, you'd lay a plan, make it a point to stop. Hey, in this love and joy and stuff, it can get you. You know what these are? Besides laughing at the devil, these are victory shouts.
in places they haven't been before. Cries of victory. If I was going to live in any fear, it would be missing any of these other services. It's been my pleasure. God bless you.